Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is Monday night. Yes, I know we don't normally do shows on Monday nights, but this is a special show, and I will tell you all about it shortly. This is Off the Chain. I'm your host, Yvonne Mason, and I want to welcome each and every one of you to the show tonight. And because of y'all, this show just keeps growing and growing and growing and growing, and I thank you, each and every one of you, for it. As you all know, we're heard in over 200 countries with over 200,000 plus listeners when we include all the podcasts as well as this show. And it's your show, ladies and gentlemen. It's not my show. It's you, the listener. It's you, the guest. I could sit here and ramble all day long and nobody would care. But when I bring on amazing guests like our guest tonight and the amazing listeners that share the show and keep tuning in time after time, this is how we grow. It gives an opportunity for indie artists, whether they be authors, musicians, painters, politicians, whoever I bring on this show, it gives them a place to be heard where they might not be heard. And for that, I thank you. There's two ways to get on this show. One, you can come on as a guest. Two, you can become a sponsor for the show. And I don't do that to get rich because I'm not going to get rich. I do it to give you yet another platform. And if you want to find out how to be a sponsor on the show, you can either contact me on Facebook or you can contact me at offthechainradio@yahoo.com and I will tell you exactly how to do it. And with that, I'm going to open the show up with a few ads. Jay Traveler Pelton has been on this show before and she has a special offer going on her website just for folks like you getting ready for what I call the silly season. She is offering postpaid sets for trilogies for $25 a set, and she will autograph it any way you like. She takes PayPal, and she'll ship the sets out the next working day. So go to her website, travelerpelton.com, for all the details. Terrorist Traitors and Spies is her latest book in the Oberlin series. The middle generations of the Oberlins carry on the legacy of their father, Noah, by setting up a network of scientist spies informants all over the globe. This book spans the generations from 1910 to 1975, a time of change and growth. The family tries to stay out of the feud between Edison and Telson while beginning to investigate an elusive enemy network that grows into an underground jungle which will plague them for generations. They survive two world wars, the Korean conflict, and the Vietnam War in spite of attacks on them personally from the enemy and even from their own government. Will the legacy of the Lenape negotiators carry the family through discrimination, hatred, and treason? Will there be another seven generations of the people to carry on, or will they follow their ancestors into oblivion? Join the high-energy Oberlin family in yet another of travelers' tales of intrigue, technology, and history. Terrorists, Traitors, and Spies, available now on Amazon, Books a Million, ebook, or paperback. Or if you want to, go to travelerpelton.com, which is her website, for a special offer just perfect for the holidays. Now, if you're into audiobooks, you can go to audiobookwormpromotions.com/adopt-an-audiobook and adopt, don't shop, for your next audiobook favorite. The Adopt an Audiobook program has new releases and audiobooks for every genre. All audiobooks are free to interested reviewers, and that is the caveat. You can get the book for free if you will do a review on it. Simply listen and share your thoughts. That's audiobookwormpromotions.com/adopt-an-audiobook. Many of you know Diane Moak. She's been on this show many, many times. And thank you, Australia, because y'all put her number one in Down Under. Well, she has a series called the Sam Holden series. And Sam Holden, our favorite vigilante, is back. The third book in the series is called Dog Bones, and it's Sam's quest to avenge abused animals, but it is threatened when the FBI comes after her on one side and the commissioner wants her dead on the other side. Will Sam's life be double life be exposed, and will she be able to protect the animals, her friends, and herself? Check out Dog Bones by Diane Moat everywhere ebooks are sold, and if you have not yet started the series, you can start with Dog Gone, because for now it is free on Amazon. That's Dog Gone by Diane Moat and Dog Bones. That's the third in the series. Howard Levine has got a new book out called Last Gasp. Fred Tedeschi's niece is dead, one of thousands of victims of a terrorist attack which has been laid at the feet of Islamic radicals by right-wing U.S. government. Frank, based on a chance encounter, is one of the very few people who question the government's explanation. He's a Vietnam veteran who wants nothing more than to live without further controversy or conflict. Can he and his grieving brother Rob, a detective with the NYPD, obtain the necessary evidence to uncover the truth in the face of scorn and incredibility? Can they overcome their long-term estrangement to work together, given that they are putting their lives in danger? And Last Gasp, a novel that resonates with today's politics, the answers to these questions unfold in a way that mingles personal and societal issues and intertwines the past and present while moving relentlessly forward. Amy Lyle, she also has been on the show, and she is one funny woman. She's a comedian and actor who lives in Atlanta, and she has a unique outlook on life. Most people hide their failures because, to be perfectly honest, ladies and gentlemen, aren't we embarrassed? Well, Amy wears hers like a coat, and she wrote an entire book about them. It's called The Book of Failures. The book opens with, I have been married for 20 years. Not to the same people, but 20 years nonetheless. The book talks about relationships, how hard it is to blend a family, and just funny failures of everyday life. The reason it's been a bestseller for over a year is that it is so relatable. Everybody needs more laughter in their lives. So buy it for yourself or for a friend or even somebody you might not like too much that is going through a hard time. The Book of Failures is available at some Barnes & Noble stores, on Amazon as a paperback, ebook, or audio. The Book of Failures by Amy Lyle. Get it today. And with that, I want to welcome our guest tonight. Is one half of a duo. And the song that you heard, The Girl in the Gilded Cage, just sent me back into time travel, because it's the same tone, the same pop music that reminded me of the late 60s, early 70s when music was changing, and I'm seeing this movie wandering around in my head. The amazing duo of Fitzsimmons and Brogan is the author of that beautiful song called Girl in a Gilded Cage. They are based in London. Neil Fitzsimmons and B. Brogan aim to produce, quote, pure pop for now people, end quote. Neil and B. were both members of the band Pretty Blue Gun, who were signed to an indie label licensed to Sony. They released two albums, which were critically acclaimed, and then some of the guest musicians included members of the Art of Noise, Dave Braun, Eric Clapton's bass player, and Eric Clapton is I have a girl crush on him, Tobias Beauchel, Moody Blues, and Pip Williams, who played guitar on the Walker Brothers track No Regret. The albums were produced by Pat Collier, who produced Katrina and the Waves international hit Walking on Sunshine, another one of my favorites. The band went on to national tours across the UK until disbanding. Neil Fitzsimmons, the songwriter, and B. Brogan, the vocalist, then went on to form a songwriting/production partnership that led to the placement of their songs in film and TV. The new album, Big Blue World, was released June 22nd with another schedule for the fall of this year. And Neil is with us tonight. Neil, welcome to the show. Thank you for staying up till, 4 o'clock in the morning, your time for this show?
It's about 10 past one, and that's fine.
Well, I am so, so humbled. I told Michael, I said, I will even do the show in the afternoon on my time so that these guys don't have to stay up so late because
that's
y'all lead
fine.
A very busy life. But thank you, excuse me, for being here tonight. Now, you were flying solo because you told me before we went live that you're the one that does all of the interviews.
Yeah.
So before we get into the history of you and B and this wonderful plethora, eclectic musicians that y'all hooked up with,
yeah.
What in the world was the inspiration for Girl in a Gilded Cage? That song makes me want to get up and dance.
That's great. I've always been a big fan of bands like Blondie, the Go-Go's, and stuff like that. Like the pop rock, as you said, about in the 70s and 80s. I've always been a big fan of that. And I decided to write something like that, and it's... it just came really quickly, that song, and the band loved it and everything. And me and B got together as a duo, we decided to record that, as you said, with Pat Collier, who produced it, yeah.
Well, the movie that was dancing around in my head was girls with hair down their backs and mini skirts and go-go boots dancing
yeah.
to this song.
Yeah, that would be great. Yeah, like in the cages that they used to have
yes.
up in the in the clubs. I love that era of stuff. I'm really fascinated by that. So that's been a big influence on us. We're both of us obsessed with the 60s music, especially the Beatles, who are like, you know, my absolute number one favorite group. So that's where we draw inspiration from that era, really.
Well, I read that the Beatles was top on your list of favorite bands,
yeah.
and I went back and reread it, and I went, are you kidding me? Because I grew up on the Beatles. The Beatles were popular in the mid to late 60s, and the first
yeah.
time I heard them, I'm going, I kind of like this sound, and they were a pop band.
They're fantastic. Brilliant, everything. I don't think there'll ever be another group like them, to be quite honest. I think everything we do, we always judge it by what the Beatles would have done on something. You know, we're obsessed, especially like with John Lennon as well. I mean, he's like my
yeah.
hero, and Bees as well. And everything we do. I mean, we've got everything. I read books, countless books on them. We've got all their stuff, every album and everything like that. Yeah, and we've got a poster of them in our front room as well.
What I find interesting is if ladies and gentlemen, if you're too young to know who the Beatles were, go back and listen to some of their songs, their early songs when they first came out, because what Neil and B do is they put together beautiful music in that same vein. It's almost like retro.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's what we're trying to do, really, because we think a lot of pop music now has lost its way, to be quite honest. And we're trying to bring that back. And, you know, the reaction to the album has been unbelievable, the reviews we've been getting. We got another great one today as well. So, yeah, it's been really good. I think there's a lot of people out there who are just waiting for that type of stuff, hopefully.
Well, it has an upbeat... It has an upbeat sound. You can understand the words, and it makes one feel good. It's the music's not so loud that it fries your brain and it goes on short circuit because you can't hear anymore, and you don't have to try to figure out what the words are because they're very plainly articulated, and it's just feel good music, Neil.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, that's that's why we work with Pat Collier, because, I mean, I was a big fan of his, like you were saying, like with Katrina and the Waves. I love Walking on Sunshine. And actually, before we ever got signed to a deal, one of my friends, a drummer, said we were listening to Katrina and the Waves. I had an album. And he said, oh, you know, this bloke would be really great on your stuff. So when we got signed, that's who we asked for. And after... some toing and froing with the record company. Yeah, we were put with him, and we have been working with him ever since, because he knows how to get that energy into music.
And it's real. It's not a forced sound. It sounds like that, like you and B are just having a blast in the studio. You're not recording. You're just jamming, having a gay old time.
Yeah. Well, I think that's what you've got to try and get over, because as I was saying, I think a lot of some of the stuff, guitar music that comes out now, is just like it's all on one level and it's a drone. But the basic thing we always go for above everything else is the melody, because without that, I don't think anything really else works in a song. And that's why we try to do that, put like a very consistent level of songs on an album. We don't want anyone to listen to an album and think, oh, I'll skip past that one because I really, you know, I don't like that one. We want to go back to like when the Beatles first came out, and people like David Bowie, that there was a great track all the way through the album.
Yeah, you didn't want to miss one song.
No.
If you missed one song, it just messed up the entire thing. It was like taking a journey. Because
the
songs were put together, it had a middle, a beginning, and the end through the tracks.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's what we're trying to do. Because, I mean, I think now a lot with MP3 players and iPods and everything like that, listening to albums is not the thing it used to be, where you used to sit down and listen to the whole album with the lyric sheet and listen to the whole thing. Now people just... skip from one, pick their favorites out and just put them all together in like a glorified mixtape,
which is a shame because so much good music is lost when they don't listen to the whole thing. Case in point, Rod Stewart just put out a new album and there is not a bad song on the album.
Oh, right. Yeah. Is that all original songs, is it, that he's written?
Exactly.
Yeah.
There's no cover. There's just Rod Stewart. Just like listen to you and B. It's all y'all. There's no cover. There's no copying someone else's songs. There's no copying someone else's type. This is just y'all, and I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what we try to do. Yeah. I mean, that, and that's why he's lasted so long as well. Because he's got a sound, a thing that, you know, as soon as you hear him singing, it can't really be anybody else, can it? I mean, I loved it, some of his early stuff, like You Wear It Well, which is about my favourite of his, which I think is a fantastic song. That I think is something that's sadly missing now, like all the sampled rubbish you get now, where people just stealing bits of people's songs and putting it out as their own. I just, you know, I'm just a bit lost with all that type of stuff.
Well, what has happened is they've they've lost their creative edge, and I think have gotten slightly lazy in the industry, because people will buy anything now. And we have to, it's, I look at it as a fine wine. We have to be very selective of the music that we listen to in order to make those artists who are being lazy rise like cream to the top of a pitcher.
That's right,
yeah. You and me have done.
Oh, thanks. That's great. Yeah, it's good of you to say that.
Well, I only speak the truth, Neil. I don't know if Michael told you that or not, but no. I just speak the
Right, yeah.
I found out something very interesting about y'all. Y'all also, like two of my favorite classical artists, Mozart and Chopin.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. That, I've got to be honest, that's more B than me. She's really into her classical stuff. Yeah, but I do. I mean, to be quite honest, you know, everyone that works in music today is copying their chord progressions without realizing it. So, yeah, I definitely would. I would say that's an influence on us.
Well, this is a good time to take a break and run these ads right quick, and then we're going to follow the ads with another of Fitzsimmons and Brogan's songs, and this one is called Blue Velvet. And no, ladies and gentlemen, it is not the old Blue Velvet song. It is a rockin' song. So this is Off the Chain. I'm your host, Yvonne Mason, with my guest, Neil Fitzsimmons, one half of the Fitzsimmons and Brogan duo, all the way across the big pond in England. We will return shortly.
Best-selling and award-winning author of true crime and crime fiction, Yvonne Mason is back with a brand new book, The Pink Canary, a book that delves into the life of a drag queen and a marvelous whodunit. You can find this and all of Yvonne's other works on Amazon.com, or find Yvonne Mason on Facebook and Twitter.
He's gonna kill me.
Buy your copy of Pink Canary now.
Do you have cougars on your porch swing? Are horses your new best friend? Do your nicest shoes get buried knee-deep in snow as your toes turn blue? Are you bothered by wolves at your woodpile? No, not that kind of wolf. Join wildlife artist and author Nancy Quinn and her family as they discover an exciting new life in Go West, Young Woman. A true Montana adventure, available online and in bookstores, or visit quinnwildlifeart.com for a personalized signed copy. Critics agree, it's a hoot.
This is Jade.
And this is Winona.
Wow, it's been a busy summer.
Yes, we have new books. I think we have a new audio book.
And I thought The Voice was bad with other life lessons. Why is that title such a mouthful?
I don't know, but you can hear that mouthful on Audible and on iTunes now.
And that will take you through life changes, the highs and lows of it, through pop poetry and the literary life guide.
So remember to check us out. And no, I don't mean a once over, but then my narcissism said, well, maybe check me out once. And then look at the rest of the website at andrewethought.com.
You can check out the podcast and the YouTube channel and everything that we're doing on that website, andwethought.com, just in case you didn't get it the first time.
Oh, my goodness. So we're going to say bye from Winona.
And Jade.
And our website.
Okay, is this going to be like a running gag?
Yup.
Andwethought.com.
Bye-bye.
Germany, 1938. Charlotte, a young girl of 15, wanders into Georg's cobbler's shop to have her shoes repaired. Georg, enamored by Charlotte's charm and grace, decides then and there that he's going to marry her. But they must keep their love a secret from family, friends, and, most importantly, the Nazis. Follow along as Georg's pursuit of the young Charlotte results in the couple traveling a heart-stopping, winding route to stay one step ahead of the Gestapo in their escape from Nazi Germany, with a surprising twist along the way. If you like history and romance, don't miss Good Things Always Happen in Springtime by Joanne Fisher, available at www.joannsbooks.com.
Juliana is a middle-aged housewife in Toronto with a career, a husband that has little interest in her well-being, and three children. In the evenings, she gets on her computer and chats with people around the world. When she gets involved with Aaron and Bobby, her life becomes a pinball, bouncing around her husband, her job, her children, and her two online friends. She's bewitched by the romantic poetry of Aaron, but the honesty and kindness of Bobby bring her all the way to California. Watch for the ironic twist of fate that takes her in a direction she never expected. If you like spicy romances, don't miss With All of Me by Joanne Fisher, available at www.joannesbooks.com.
Fiore is a young Italian woman engaged to be married, but her plans are interrupted by a charismatic Sebastian, a handsome middle-aged Spanish businessman. Her beauty strikes him like a thunderbolt sent by the goddess Venus herself. When she's given a peculiar gift, a Spanish doll, she's thrown into a whirlwind of entangled passion, money, secrets, and love.
Their romance sparks in a charming little Italian town located on the southern part of Lake Garda in northern Italy and takes them around the globe.
What happens when her life is suddenly shattered by a lifelong secret? Her Spanish doll will bring you to a caliente Spain
and a romantic Italy,
adding some spice along the way. Available at www.joannesbooks.com.
She knows.
back. This is Off the Chain. I'm your host, Yvonne Mason, and that was Blue Velvet by the duo of Fitzsimmons and Brogan. And Neil, I'm going to tell you again, because I'm an author, this movie's in my head. And in this movie, I see maybe a senior prom, and the kids are all there, and this girl walks in the door, and she's in blue velvet. And this guy that's got a crush on her, he can't help himself because she's in blue velvet.
Yeah.
Was that what y'all were trying to produce through that song, that vision?
Yeah, I suppose, when I wrote that, it was like, you know, like the unobtainable girl type thing that I was going for. And then there was actually a track around at the time by a little known group called The Bible, who did a song called Honey Be Good, which I was a big fan of that song. And I based it on that, really. And also because I love the David Lynch film, Blue Velvet, as well. So that was a bit of an inspiration. Yeah, I suppose it was that, really, that I went for. It was actually after that track that me and B became an item, which she was in the band before that, but then after I'd written that one, we started going out with each other because she absolutely loved that song. And also there's a writer in this country, certainly he's passed away now, Charlie Gillett, and he was a big name in the radio over here. He broke people like Elvis Costello, Dire Straits. He championed their cause, and we sent the demo of that to him, and he actually phoned me one night and just said it was one of the best songs he'd heard in the last 25 years, and that he was going to start pushing it out and playing it to people. And eventually that led to us getting signed.
Well, that is an amazing song, because not only is it retro, but in the vision in my head, and again, as a writer, I visualize things before I write them down.
Yeah.
It takes costumes and all, the clothing and all, goes back to the 70s and the 60s.
Yeah.
With the beehive hairdos and the big bows in the hair and the straight A-line gowns. Neil, you are a fantastic songwriter.
Oh, right. Thanks a lot. Yeah. Oh, that's really, yeah, good. Yeah, I mean, I don't actually think, I think it's like with yourself, but like writing, you can't teach anybody to write, I don't think, at all. It was just something that when I was a kid, I was always interested in who'd actually written the song. I thought, well, they must be the brains behind the whole thing. And that's why eventually, you know, when I took up playing the guitar, I took up the guitar to become a songwriter, not a guitarist. But in the end, I picked stuff up, and obviously I can play now. But that was it. I've always been fascinated by songwriters. And that's more than anything, that's what I wanted to do.
And your songs tell a story, and I've had other artists on before. One of the things that I say is the only difference between you as a songwriter and me as an author is your stories are put to music.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Yeah, that's what I try to do, really. When it comes to the lyrics and everything, I'm a really big Elvis Costello fan. I loved his lyrics. I loved Lennon's lyrics and people like Bowie. And to go a bit left field, I think you must have heard of him, Jimmy Webb, who wrote all the stuff for Glen Campbell.
Yeah.
Who's written some of the most brilliantly miserable songs that I've ever heard.
Yeah.
But it's absolutely fantastic, you know, like by the time I get to Phoenix and The Witches of Lyman and Galveston, I mean, I just love all stuff like that. So I've got quite a taste across the board, really. Go on.
They have taught you well, my friend, because
yeah.
With the old school feel that you would be put to music, I read something that says y'all will not be pigeonholed. And
no,
I understand that, because once you're pigeonholed, then it's like clipping the wings of a bird. You can't fly anymore, and you can't show your full potential of what you're made of.
Yeah, I believe, because I think the thing that we never wanted to do, and I think a lot of other bands and artists do that, is they keep on writing the same song over and over again, which I don't really want to do that. I mean, you know, on the album, on the Big Bluebird album, there's a ballad on that as well, The Wounds Are Healing Now, which is totally different to anything else on there. And there's like heavy rock stuff, well, sort of like rocky stuff, like The God Given Right. So yeah, to be quite honest, when we first had a few like close calls, like getting signed before we actually signed the deal. And one of the things which I thought was really ridiculous was that they couldn't pigeonhole us. They wanted to put us into a category, and we were determined not to have that, because I don't want to keep on writing the same song and going around in like ever decreasing circles, really. So I'm glad we stuck to our guns, because we found a good label in the end.
I'm glad you did too, because if they had made you become a machine, a music machine, you would have lost the eccentricity and the eclecticness and the freshness of the music that y'all produce, and you would have just been like the boy bands that are out there. And it's like some authors and the Big Six put out. They write the same plot, just different characters in different cities, but you can pick it up, read the synopsis and say, oh, I've read this before, because it's the same thing.
Yeah, it's like the work. We are great readers. We've got, well over like a couple of thousand books, so we read all the time. And I think those books are written on like a template where they just fill in, you know, there must be about six different templates, or most probably less than that, and they just fill the characters. I don't know how they turn out that many books. I can't understand it.
They just changed the names to protect the guilty.
Yeah, that's right.
I want to play this last song because I want to talk about this one, because this song is, I'm going to remind me that Michael goes on my list, because now he has me addicted to yet another one of the artists that he represents. Michael has sent me so many wonderful artists down through the months. He'll get a new artist and say, Yvonne, put this one on your show. And he picks the best. I'm going to tell you, Neil, he absolutely picks the best to manage. And I see you and B winning all kinds of awards next year.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. Yeah. We picked up one award from the Indie Music Channel for, I think, the Big Blue World single got to number one or number two in the chart. So, yeah, that was nice.
I hope I've got the big, I thought I'd, oh, tell me I didn't. I can't find it. What did I do with it? Oh, no. I thought I uploaded it. Let's see if I can find it. I might not have. It might not have uploaded. You'll just have to come back on so I can play it again.
I had it
online to play, and I don't know what happened, but it didn't upload for some reason. So we'll just carry on and talk. I'm not all here anyway. I think half of my brain went to sleep. But how long have y'all been together? Recording, and with the band before y'all.
Well, yeah. I suppose we've been together about 10 years now.
Wow.
Doing it, but yeah, that's when we had like our first deal, and then the first label we were with went into liquidation, and we spent about 16 months trying to get away from them, which was horrible.
Bless your heart.
Yeah, because they wouldn't let us go unless they could recoup their costs. So it was all pretty. And I've had publishing deals since then. But then we got, as I said, we got signed by this French label. We've got them as a publisher, and we've got a couple of other publishers as well, one in the States and one in the UK. And that's basically, we did talk, as I think you know, we were both in the Pretty Blue Gun, which was the original name when it was a full band. And we did tour with that around the country and everything, and played some quite nice venues. But then when that split up, myself and B decided to write, you know, become like a songwriting production night team together.
Well, and also in my deep dive of y'all.
Yeah.
Y'all wrote a musical.
Yeah, we did. Yeah.
Tell me about that. That is amazing.
Yeah. Well, we always had this idea we wanted to do something like that. And what we decided was to use the songs that I'd written and put a storyline around them. And we sent that off to a couple of people that work in Channel 4 TV over here. And they actually went for the idea, and one of them wrote the book for it. He just took our story on. And then we got a musical director. He got interested, and won an award and got a week's run at about three different theatres in London, which was unbelievable, really, because it was almost taken out of my hands. You know, once the musical theatre people got involved and everything, I've got to say, it was one of the most brilliant things when myself and B were invited down to watch the first. For it, and I hadn't seen anything the way that they'd scored and arranged the songs, and it was unbelievable. So
what it says to me is you and B are more than one dimensional.
Oh yeah,
if you decided to quit singing pop songs, you could write musicals and make a fortune.
Yeah, I'd love to do that. I mean, I could send you some tracks from the actual musical, which are so far removed from what we do that it's almost like they've been written by somebody else. But I think that all comes from our love of different artists like that. Again, I mean, this sounds really left field, but I'm myself and Beat are really huge fans of Carousel, you know, the film.
Yeah, I love that film.
Yeah, with Shirley Jones and Gordon McRae.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, we're into, because I was brought up because my dad loved that film and everything, and so when I was a kid, that was constantly, you know, he's always talking about it. He had the album and those songs, and that's why I think that it's what has led us down different paths in the writing and what we do, because we've got those type of influences.
In writing the musicals, do you feel like that it made you more, for lack of a better word, cognizant of making your songs for the pop side more three-dimensional, more meaningful, more lyrical, more storytelling?
Yeah, I think there's the things you said. When they took this stuff on, the musical director, he took the stuff on, and he used the songs really well in it, because as you said, most of those songs have got a story going on in them, and the story, the songs just seem to fit. A few little changes had to be made to some of them, but when the opening night at the Greenwich Theatre in London, I just couldn't believe it when I saw the actors in all, you know, in the full dress costume and everything. We were sitting in the front row, and embarrassingly, I had to go up on the stage at the end with the musical director and take a bow. And I've never been on the stage without a guitar in my hand. So it was, and I'm 6'3" and he's about 5'2". So it did look slightly ridiculous.
But just think of it, Neil, glow in that, because how many people want to be able to do what you did and would probably sell their soul to the devil to be able to write a musical that was that wonderful and put it on.
Yeah, no, it was great. I mean, I just came in one day and there was an email waiting for me there just saying that your musical's been accepted and it's won an award and it's going to get a week's run. And, you know, it ran at the Greenwich Theatre for a week, then at the Bridewell, and then they put a performance of it on at the Royal Academy of Music as well, which was quite unbelievable.
Whoa!
But what was really nice was that, on the Greenwich Theatre thing, my mum and dad were in the audience, and Trudy's parents, so Bee's parents. So, yeah, it was a great experience.
Was that on your bucket list? Was that one of the things that you had that you wanted to take that journey? Or was it something that you just fell into one day because you could?
I think, like you said, what you were saying is that when, you know, we were doing this stuff when we got signed and everything, and all through my writing, we always said these would make songs would be great in a musical. And then one day myself and B actually sat down and we came up with an idea that was across in between Carousel and the Tale of Two Cities at the end of it. And there's the last scene is basically, not to bore everybody, but it's just a girl gets married to the wrong person who's a bit of a tearaway. The one who's good, she ignores. And that there's all things get mixed up in the end. But in the end, the tearaway, like Billy Bigelow in Carousel, he gets a chance at redemption to make that choice to let her go and have another life, a parallel life away from him. So it was all that type of stuff. Yeah. So we had that idea, but they took it on even further than that.
What an amazing journey, Neil. Just, yeah. you know what I would love to see, since I haven't been to London and love the theater, haven't been to a play in many, many years. I would like to see it come to television.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I've got somebody in the States now who's like hunting around for something, looking
Yay.
For that. He's pushing the stuff out. So yeah, he's from, where is he from? Philadelphia, Billy Terrell. He's actually like putting feelers out because he's got the same opinion about the stuff as well. So,
all right, ladies and gentlemen, you heard it first here. If you know anybody who knows anybody, and those in the industry know what I'm talking about, we know somebody who knows somebody. Let's help Neil put it out there in the universe. Just throw it out there, all the energy out there, because I would love to see this come to television. I would watch it and just salivate because, number one, I love musicals. And number two, Neil Fitzsimmons and Bea Brogan wrote the screenplay, wrote the music, and they've been interviewed on this show. How amazing would that be?
Oh, it'd be great. Yeah, that would be fantastic.
It would be epic. How exciting. Now, I want to ask you something, my friend.
Yeah.
You all have another album coming out in the fall.
Yeah. Well, that's actually, that's been put back to the beginning of next year because the record label are putting a new single out on Friday, which is Girl in the Gilded Cage.
We heard it first here.
Yeah, that's coming out on Friday on the 19th. There's a lyric video for that. That's going to be on YouTube. Michael's getting right behind Michael Stover. And currently, we're working with drummer now, Woody Woodmansey from The Spiders from Mars. We've just done two tracks with him, and we're doing another couple of tracks. And that's going to be on another album, a third album that will come out towards the end of next year as well. So we've been quite busy.
So with that being said, let me ask you this. Would you be willing to launch the new album on this show?
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
And that way it could get out. People could even pre-order it.
Yeah. I think that's the new album, which I think is most probably going to come, I reckon, either like March, which will be next year, coming. That's called The Girl Who Shouted Love at the Heart of the World, which is a bit of a mouthful. But yeah, that's going to be the next out, again produced by Pat Collier. And then hopefully, like later in the year, the tracks that we've done with Woody Woodmansey, as I said, who was Bowie's drummer, they will be coming out on the third album.
Well, I will get with Michael and say, Michael, I want them again, because the artists that have been on this show, all of them wound up winning all kinds of indie awards, and I'm not going to say it was because of the show, but I'd like to think that this show had something to do with it because they got exposure. And this amazing. This is amazing that you've taken me back two generations.
All right. Okay, yeah. Well, that's great. I mean, that's what it, you know, I mean, I was asked that, wasn't it? And it was the influence of my parents as well. That's all I ever heard, you know, when I was growing up, was like the Beatles stuff and everything that they kept on playing and everything. And that's what I've really been into. And I'm not just the Beatles. I've got to say all across the 60s, like the Kinks, the Who, people like that. I just love it. And, you know, right across the board, really.
And I am a firm believer that everything comes back in vogue, whether it be clothing, whether it be music, whether it be furniture, whether it be houses. Everything makes a full circle. And I think that as a population, those of us that are music lovers, we are kind of tired of all the screaming and the guitars that sounds like cats being mauled to death. We want to get back to music, pure music.
Yeah, I mean, as I was saying to you, we've been working with Bowie's drummer, the Spiders from Mars, which was like the Ziggy Stardust type era. We've been working with Woody Woodmansey, you know, and I've got to say, I'm a huge David Bowie and of Woody as well. And to be working with him is unbelievable. He actually sent us an email today when he saw a review that was online of us and said, keep going. The music world needs people like you, which I thought was a lovely thing for him to do.
And I agree with him. The world does need people like you because y'all have brought class back to the music world in a big, big way. And never allow anybody to pigeonhole you and B because, my friend, y'all have got it.
Oh, that's great. Thanks. And if it's okay with you, I'll send you the stuff that we've done with Woody and also one of the songs from the musical if you'd like to hear it. So
I would. And may I have your permission to promote it on the show, play it as an opening song on the show sometime so that'll give y'all even more exposure?
Yeah, that'd be great. We've just finished two songs with Woody. We're about to do two more. And I could send you the big ballad from the musical that a girl sang. It was her solo spot, which I think you might like.
Oh, absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, yes, I know people. See, I can get things here because I know people.
Oh, that's right.
Y'all be able to hear this too. Now, what I would also like to do is put you in touch with a friend of mine who has his own radio show, and it's online, but it's run out of London.
Okay, yeah, that'd be great.
His name is Christopher Plain, and he has several. He's a music aficionado. He puts me to shame. But I would like to connect you two so that he can also interview you and B and play y'all's music and get you even more exposure.
Yeah, no, that would be absolutely fantastic, Yvonne. That was really kind of you to do that.
That's what I do, my darling. I like spreading the wealth because my philosophy is we're either going to hang separately or we're going to succeed together. And
that's
I would rather succeed together. And you and B have got some fabulous, fabulous journeys to complete. And I just want to help you get down that road because in 10, 15 years where I'm going to look back and y'all are going to be winning all these wonderful music awards. And I'm going to say, yeah, I knew them when.
That would be great. Yeah, let's hope.
Oh, no, there's no hope to it. It's a done deal. Trust me, it is a done deal. Now, believe it or not, Neil, our hour is coming to a close.
Okay.
What I would like for you to do is tell the folks where you can be found, where they can purchase your music, and you have already said you'll come back, and I'll set that up with Michael. Thank you so much. I am so grateful and so humble.
Oh, no, that'd be a pleasure.
So tell the folks where you can be found and where your music can be found.
You can find us on our website, which is fitsimonandbrogan.com. We're all across YouTube. There's a video there with a storyline with actors of one of our singles that we did for the French label. And we're on all the download portals that you can absolutely think of. The record company have made sure of that. We're on Twitter as well, and we're on Facebook, Fit Simon and Brogan. If you just type that in, you'll find us. And our music, the Big Blue World album is available, and also an album that we did before that called His Latest Squeeze. That's available as well. That was actually the album that got us noticed by the French label. And yeah, we're across everywhere, basically, thanks to Michael Stover as well. He seems to never be away from, he never seems to be away from his computer, no matter what time you email him, which is quite amazing.
Well,
yeah,
that's how you succeed. You have this wonderful man in your corner.
Yeah, that's what we we decided that this time, in the past, you know, we've left it to a publisher or the record company, and sometimes they don't get it. And I was determined, well, we were both determined that this time we would find somebody to fight our corner. And after toing and froing, talking to Michael for a while, we decided to go with him. And it's certainly it's paid off. It's really worthwhile. He's really brilliant.
He is brilliant. And you now have me in your corner, my friend, because you have
great.
A convert. I love the music. You are an amazing guest. And don't hang up when the show goes dark, but I do want to thank you for staying up late. Ladies
That's okay.
and gentlemen, this young man is in England, London, and it's almost 2 o'clock in the morning there. And he would not let me change the hour to be convenient for him. He's just so kind. And thank you for sharing an hour of your life with me. I really, really appreciate it.
Okay. Yeah, that's great. And I'll send you those new songs. I'll take it. I've got your email address, I think. So yeah. I'll send you those songs. Yeah.
All right. Well, don't hang up when the show goes dark, because I got some things I want to tell you.
Okay.
So just hang on there once the show goes dark. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Off the Chain. I'm your host, Yvonne Mason, with my guest, one half of Fitzsimmons and Brogan, Neil Fitzsimmons. And go and check their music out. I mean, these guys are phenomenal. They are bringing back wonderful pop music that I grew up on, and I am so grateful to them. That I tell you at the end of every show. One is, people will forget your name. They will forget what you're wearing. They'll even forget what you look like, but they will never, ever, ever forget how you've made them feel. We're all on a journey, ladies and gentlemen. And sometimes that journey is not a very pleasant one. So when you're out and about and you see someone that could use a smile, it doesn't cost you anything, but it may save a life. So smile. Just smile and ask someone how they're doing and tell them they have a beautiful smile. Also, do not ask permission to achieve greatness. Nobody's going to give it to you. And remember, you're already great. You don't have to achieve greatness. Teach your children that they are already great and they can do anything they want to do. Join us again tomorrow night at 8 o'clock Eastern Daylight Time when we will have another wonderful guest on the show. We're going to have a show every night this week because I'm playing catch up from the past few weeks. So we will be here every night this week at 8 o'clock Eastern Daylight Time. And we will have wonderful, wonderful guests. That is, if I can keep my voice. And I want to thank my two partners in crime, Julie Morgan and Ian Bush, thank you for stepping in while I was burying my husband. I appreciate it very, very much. So this is Off the Chain. I'm your host, Yvonne Mason, with my guest, the wonderful, wonderful one half of Fitzsimmons and Brogan, Neil Fitzsimmons. We will see you all again tomorrow night at 8 o'clock Eastern Daylight Time, when once again, as you all know, because we never know how the conversations are going to go, it will be Off the Chain. Join us, share the show, buy Fitzsimmons and Brogan's music. You will not be sorry. Until then, we say have a good evening. Okay, the show's off the air, but everything I tell you is going to show up in the archive part of the show. But I wanted to tell you that once the show goes into archives, I'm going to post the link on my page, and I'm going to tag you and Michael in it. And you can take this and put it on your website, share it with all your social media. And then tomorrow it will go up on Spreaker, on Stitcher, on SoundCloud, on Reverb Nation, on FM.com, TuneIn Radio, iTunes, YouTube, iHeartRadio on two stations on iHeartRadio, Southern Chats with Yvonne Mason and Off the Chain, and Podcast Common, Podcast Garden. And what I will do is I will tag you in the links for SoundCloud and Spreaker, podcast.com and Podcast Garden. And you can take those links and share them with everybody. And what I also wanted to ask you is when I put the show up on Reverb Nation, there is a place that I can put a song for streaming only and then put an external link that it would take the buyer to your wherever they can buy the songs where you will get paid for them. They won't be able to download it. All they'll be able to do is stream it. And if they want more, then they have to go to that link. Would it be all right to put that up there for you?
Yeah, that'd be brilliant.
Okay.
Absolutely,
Because I am going to promote the daylights out of you, my friend.
Oh, thanks. That's brilliant.
You are quite welcome. And again, thank you so much for spending an hour with me. And as soon as this thing archives, I'll put the link up. I'll tag you. And then tomorrow I'll put up the links on the podcast and send them to you as well.
Okay. What email address should I send these songs to? If you could send me your email address, that'd be good. And I can send you some of the newer tracks that we'll be doing. So, get a bit of an exclusive on them if you want.
I will do that. As soon as we get off from here, I'll send you my email address. And Neil, thank you for bringing pop back.
All right. Yeah. Thanks a lot. Yeah. that's what we're trying to do. That's brilliant. Thanks for everything tonight.
Thank you, my dear. And I will get with Michael to get you on the show so we can launch the album next March.
Yeah. That'd be brilliant.
All right, my darling. Thank you again.
Okay, then. All right. Thank you.
Talk to you later.
Uh-huh. All right, bye.
Bye-bye.